Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. You're listening to Talk Straight this January 12, 2017. We're grateful for all that might join us tonight. This is, again, Talk Straight, a talk show format where we are focusing on providing information that is of a instructional nature, supportive nature, and a friendly nature that would allow us to identify and, most importantly, address the social issues that keep many stuck and in trouble. We know that time continues to pass without regard for anyone. Either you can keep up with time or you become a victim to time leaving you behind. Tonight, this is an open mic discussion, and basically two questions we want to have conversation about and answer. And one is, how concerned are you about what will happen in this new year of 2017? And the second question being, are you afraid for young people and their safety? Tonight we have our panelists with us, and we're grateful to have our good friend, and as I mentioned, our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. He will share with us the discussion as well. As we open the microphone to you, the listening audience, to discuss the need to remain encouraged, focused, and to be unified in the effort to educate, empower, and motivate citizens across America who feel lost and left out. In case you don't know by now, it's not only African Americans who, for various reasons, feel lost and left out of the American dream, but there are many others. The good news is there is yet hope. We can make the choice to either stay with this thing or we can give up. Tonight we're going to have in the backdrop of our conversation Donny Hathaway, good brother. And as you hear the music in the background, he's talking about how it's hard to give up on someone when you really love them. Our format will be a little bit different tonight. We still give a monologue, a very brief monologue, but we will only be on for an hour tonight. Additionally, we want you to talk to me and to panelists, Pastor Waller, and we want you to share your ideas. The number here is 657-383-0944. Perhaps you're listening, you clicked in from your Facebook link or some other online link or your Twitter link. Great. We hope that you enjoy us. We realize that we have listeners from as far as California, New York now, and Chicago, and Michigan, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where we're home-based. Certainly, we welcome you to call us to share with us in our conversation. Again, this is an open mic conversation, so you are the special guest tonight, and we hope that you'll share with us. Perhaps when you listen later, you will gain some from the dialogue as well. Nonetheless, again, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. We're going to hopefully have some conversation. We had a very good show this past Tuesday about Negro musicology. I certainly gained some things from the dialogue and the conversation, and we appreciate those of you who responded to the question threads on Facebook. Good dialogue, very good conversation. Someone shared with me some things that they're doing in their church, actually, to use music as an instructional tool. So that's a great thing, and we encourage you to continue to follow our conversational thread and share in with us. And together we can learn and we can grow together. There are opportunities for us to move forward and to empower others to do likewise. So I encourage you to do that as well. Having said that, let's go and give a little bit, allow me, if you will, excuse me, to offer a brief backdrop for the context of our conversation. And as I mentioned, we want to tackle that question, how concerned are you about what will happen during this year? I recently had a conversation with some individuals who expressed grave concern that they didn't know how things were going to turn out, and they didn't know who to look to. So a theme of the discussion that I'd like to engage you with is get some idea of what our hero looks like. That being said, the legend of Superman has it that his foster parents raised him in Illinois. Nobody ever noticed he looked just like Superman, just without glasses. Superman was faster than the speeding bullet, the legend says. He was able to travel faster than a speeding light, and that made him capable of time travels, flying at a fast rate. Superman was more powerful than a locomotive. He was capable of moving a planet off its axis. His alter ego was Clark Kent, the regular guy, you know, like you and I, mild-mannered reporter who worked for the Daily Planet. Superman is really an alien from the planet Krypton, dressed in a man's body. Batman, you've heard of Batman, a.k.a. Bruce Wayne. One day he opens a package to find the shredded remains of a bat costume that was once worn by his father. Bruce Wayne, or Batman, began to reminisce about the time when his father, Dr. Thomas Wayne, wore that costume to a charity costume party. And he and his wife were taken hostage by a group of thugs who were looking for someone else who was a doctor. Dr. Wayne and his wife, Martha, were shot to death. Sadly, it left young Bruce without a father. The traumatic experiences caused Bruce Wayne to take that Batman suit, and the frustration and anger from his loss and the terrible deed that was done caused him to go into some sort of trance and to make it his business to go after injustice everywhere and to work in the interests of the little man and to stop criminality. And he wore that suit as his costume when he went out to fight crime as a dynamic crime fighter. Spider-Man. When Peter Parker was bitten by a lethal radiated spider, radioactive or mutagenic enzymes came from the spider's venom and quickly caused numerous body-wide changes for Peter Parker. Immediately after the bite, he was granted his original powers, primarily superhuman strengths, reflexes, and balance, the ability to cling tenaciously to most surfaces a subconscious precognition or a sense of danger, which he called his spider senses, quote unquote. Originally, Peter Parker wore glasses, but after the spider bite, his vision became 20/20 perfectly, allowing him to see perfectly after his spectacles were broken by the Flash Thompson. You know, these are some of the stories that we've heard growing up, if you're in a certain age range anyway. And I know for a lot of young men, they were intriguing. But the reality is that, like myself and others, we grew up and these were only fictitious heroes. Because when we got in a bind, when it came to finding out who we were and what our purpose was, and even how to stay alive from gang activity and how to avoid drugs and alcohol and all the other negative social ills that young people get caught up in, and we realized that all those characters I just described were just fictitious. They were not real. They were figments of our imagination. Dr. Waller, you there with us, sir? Pastor Wally, you there? Okay, perhaps he'll join us here shortly.
Good, Pastor, how you doing?
Good.
How
are you
doing
with us?
Yes, I am.
All right.
How
you
doing?
Were you able to share a monologue?
Yes, I was. I was able to tune in, and I was trying to make sure I click over. And
okay.
And just, yeah, I'm in, though.
All right. So... Yeah. Every young man and young women have some sort of ideal person that they aspire to be. And oftentimes, these people, these characters or personalities are not real. How is it that we bring reality to the dream of being something and being somebody? But more importantly, as we move forward in 2017, who will be our hero, and how will they inspire, encourage, and motivate us? That's why.
I mean, I think what you're saying about that, I think you kind of really hit home, you know, to me.
Okay.
You know, because there's a lot of people that really actually will see things like that and try to be just like, in other words, you know, I like the word says, Paul said it plain, you know, he's imitate me as I imitate Christ, you know, in other words, follow me. And that's the thing. But out here in the real world, there's a lot of people that are doing just what you're saying, and to try to follow someone that's going in the wrong direction and don't even know it. I can relate to that. And so I was listening to the characters that you were. And it wasn't even for real. I said, oh, man, that's amazing. I mean, that is amazing all by itself, man. You know, and I like how you put it, and it wasn't even real. I was like, man.
Well, you know,
that is,
every time I would think about
ahead.
Him, I'm looking for him, and I can't find him in the ghetto. You understand what I'm saying?
Can't find him. Look around
hey,
and say, can't find him. Okay,
Hey, Pastor, there were a few times I got a few whoopings on the street in Chicago, okay? And there was no Batman. I couldn't get Superman to fly down, and Spider-Man wouldn't swing around for me.
No, don't tell me.
I was on
man,
my own.
Using your own imagination at that point.
All by myself.
Thinking that you was looking at something and you were seeing it to be something very interesting. And you discovered that there was no way around.
It wasn't real.
And that is what summed it up. You know, it wasn't even for real. Man, that's
right.
That's a terrible blow. But that's how it goes,
well,
you know, and we have to. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I apologize.
I was thinking about, you know, how easy it is to get lured into a style that would deceive you.
Right.
And you know, I think about that, man, you know, just how fast and how you know, innocent. You know, I was told by the guy, the eyes of the innocent. You know, people with those innocent eyes, man, get to seeing things, and suddenly they have a desire to become the very thing that they are looking at. And it can happen. It can happen. It has happened.
Yeah.
It's basically going on still today. And I feel like myself, you know, what is it that can be done? And I was thinking, I said, I haven't done enough. And I feel like, you know, I'm grateful for what I have done. I'm definitely grateful for what I have done. That's hands down. But what I also desire is that, you know, it's more to be done. And I was thinking about all the things and all the avenues and how to go about it and when is it going to occur. So when you combine all of that together, man, I sum it up with saying there's still work to do. You know, so much work to do. I mean, it's just like that.
That's interesting you say that. Both of us are pastors. One character that we no doubt have professed to infinitum is the character of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He said to be Savior, a Redeemer, a Deliverer, a wheel out of nowhere, bread in starving land, water when you're thirsty. Is that right?
That's correct.
For a lot of young people, Pastor Waller, Christ is just as fictitious as Batman or Superman.
That's correct, man. I mean, I'll be honest, that's just correct, you know.
That begs the question, what is it that we need to do to help young folk find the realism of the Savior who we know is real?
Uh-huh. To do what he asked
us
to
do. Help me with that. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Talk to me tonight.
Do what he asked us to do. That is, you know, he said, take it to the streets. He made it plain.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
He is very, very plain, and there's no more excuses. You know, I think they use all the excuses up inside the building. And you know, somewhere you have to, somewhere I like to believe that you ran across the word when it said that. It says, go out into the world and preach the gospel. And it says, esteem others more highly than yourself. How do you do that? I mean, you take a look at your situation and say, okay, maybe there's somebody, especially if you have changed, you know, if your life has changed. I mean, of course, if you haven't changed, I mean, it's best for you not to go out and try to say nothing to nobody because that's not the way it should be done. It's hypocritical that you call that. But if you have changed and you know that the Lord God has been good to you, and then you get a simple instruction to go out and tell somebody. I mean, it don't necessarily have to be a person that's quote on through. Of course, that's just where I came from. I was into that, and so I understand what it means to go out and tell others who are still captured. However, there could be some areas in someone's life that would cause them on purpose to have joy to be able to just go tell somebody, you know, that you may see out in the world. You don't know how to approach them, but you'll never know until you step up and you step out there.
Wow.
And then you find reasons and ways to say, hey, at least I had confidence. I was persuaded. I believe that if I just go out and tell somebody something, that it may do them some good. You know, you may not see the evidence right then, but that's not, you know, what you're supposed to even worry about, the evidence right then. You need to just go out and get started. And I think that's what I was really grateful for, that I did go out and I got started, man. And the outcome has been great. But I still say there's more work to be done. So I feel like I still haven't done enough. And I get that from the pastor of the church that I attended when I first went inside the church as a visitor. And he was the one that started it for me. He didn't ask me, did I want to go tell anybody? I was just in the congregation feeling pretty good and overcame a drug that was controlling me. I'd been off of it for about a year. And I didn't know that he believed in me that much because I know there was a lot of people that didn't believe that I had changed, and I understood why they didn't because it was hard for me to believe. So I understood them. Make a long story short, one day while I was sitting in the congregation, and I'm back there again, back of the church, sitting and listening to him preach, and he got to a part where he said, stand up, son. And he made it known again. He said it again. Stand up, son. And he was talking about me. And I stood up. Yeah. And he said, you see that young man back there? He said he used to do drugs. I said to myself, my goodness, man, believe in me.
Mm.
And see, that's the beginning of me becoming a witness. He's the one done his part. See, he's the one came out in the street to encourage me to come to church. Then when he discovered that I had stopped using drugs, he really started to add and to increase in his faith in what he believed in me, you see. And that's what it's all about. It's like, you know, he wanted to help me in the process of what he seen me overcome. So he made it known to the people that, you see that young man back there? He used to use drugs.
So you were an example.
Some people. Yes, yes. So he used me as an example. And then he said it again as he went somewhere else to preach in other areas. And one day he asked me, as he asked me to stand again before, and then he asked me, he said, do I embarrass you when I ask you to stand up? I said, well, no. I said, it worked like that. I said, you know, and I understood where he was coming from. So later on, that's what made me appreciate being a witness. It was all because, I don't know if I would say it or not, I think it was all because of what he started, asking me to stand up.
Okay.
I didn't ask to stand up. I wasn't trying to tell nobody. You know?
Let me draw from something you said. You mentioned the need in order to keep Christ from being in the minds of young people, in particular a fictitious character, to leave the four walls and go to where they are. If they're on the corner, go there. If they're predisposed to hang out in the club, meet them somewhere around there, right?
Sure.
Wherever they hang out. Matthew's 28:19, I read, somebody said, go you therefore and teach all
men.
I believe that was Jesus. I believe that was Jesus.
He said teach all
men. He was very much alive. Watch this, Pastor. He was very much alive. In fact, he told Old Down Thomas, look, put your hand right here.
Okay.
Feet up, you feel a hole? You feel a hole?
Oh,
but he pierced me in the side.
Oh, my.
Look, Thomas, I know you got some doubt. I know you're not sure about it Peter even doubted. Peter, I don't know him. But here's the thing. Go ye therefore and teach, watch this, all nations.
Yeah.
That tells me we got a broad, broad scope.
Yeah, man.
A long way to go.
They've
done enough, huh?
That's it. Teach all. That's including the people now.
Now, what it sounds like to me, brother preacher, is that Christ ain't going to do this no more. Christ is
not
going to market himself. He's not going to sell himself.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation is for you and I and others to do so. And maybe in this conversation about how can or the concern people might have for 2017, perhaps a good resolution is to know yourself by knowing who the Savior is in you. Now, let me just say that everything we learn about Christ is that he is the epitome and the example of man's both frailties, limitations, but at the same time, his greatest assets and ability.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that if we're down, if we feel as though someone has counted us out and they tried to bury us, that no grave can hold us down. We'll rise again.
That's right. I believe
we'll rise again. We'll rise again.
Yeah,
yes, sir. Can't no grave keep us down.
No, when you're walking dead, faster than me, as I know in time past, they say we were all once upon a time, you know, walking in darkness, okay? So we were dead in sin and trespasses. So when that said that, that means that I wasn't even alive around here. I was walking the dead. Dead in sin. You see, according to the word,
right.
And I received, embrace that. I needed to hear that. You see, and it worked for me because that's what I actually felt like, a walking dead man around here being controlled by a chemical. One day when I was resurrected from the dead, it made me appreciate being free, man. And that's the thing that I think so many people right now deserve that type of information to know that it's a way to come alive. You know, it's just right. Wake up. You know, it's time for it's now. It's high time to awake out of sleep. No, not that it's just high time. It's right now the time. This is the time. You know, it's like high time right now. There's no need in waiting another year and everything. That's why I say so much work to be done. I don't feel like I've done enough. And that's a humble way of saying it. You know, that I do appreciate that I have done, but I just feel like there's more.
Right. Okay. Let me. The number is 657-383-0944. You're listening to our January 12th broadcast of Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. We would love to have you share in our open dialogue here, in our open microphone. I'm going to ask you to consider this next advertisement, this message, because I do need your help. And on the other side of that, we mentioned that we are highlighting Donny Hathaway tonight, his musical talents and his contribution to humanity. And so I want you to think about the character in the advertisement, and I want you to think about where we are in terms of 2017, any concerns that anyone might have. When we come back, we'll talk about that on the other side.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is Ruben Dockery, your host. And we have with us tonight, again, Mr. Pastor Ricky Waller, regular panelist. And you're invited to join us in an open mic discussion. 657-383-0944. Please give us a call. Love to entertain your conversation. You have about another 29 minutes or so to go. And we'd love to have you share with us in our conversation. On the other side, we were talking about the character in the commercial, the young man. This is based on a real story. And all over America, there are young people who question whether or not they even have a right to exist. And some of them ask the question, Pastor Waller, why was I even born? So for them, that is the concern about not just 2017, but the rest of their lives. In counseling young men, I've asked often, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? And never cease to amaze the blank stare in response, particularly those who are without strong parental and fatherly in particular guidance and motherly guidance. They lack a sense of identity and purpose, and it's difficult for them to answer that. And I see fear in their eyes when it comes to facing that reality. Pastor, how is it that a young man grows up from birth? Let's say he grew up in dire poverty. How does he grow up from birth to be 18 and not have a clue of where he should be going the next 20 years of his life?
How does he grow up and do not have a clue? That right there, you got a lot going on wrapped up in that, and do not have a clue.
You don't know.
See, that right there is that a person's identity. When you don't know something, I mean, it's like, you know, what do you do when you don't know? Deal with not knowing, man. It's a very, very difficult path.
Sure.
Because first you're dealing with what you don't know. And that's pretty tough to be able to endure. It's like a hardship. You know, you really would like to do a lot of things, but when you don't know, you just have to learn how to say, hey, I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. And go ahead.
Let me explain why I posed the question. 18, you know, is the age of consent. So that means if you make the wrong move, go down the wrong street, hook up with the wrong people, you can go to jail and be charged as an adult with a felony crime. Okay?
Yeah, you can.
Right?
You can.
At 21, they expect you to be a rational adult. Someone who can be held accountable as an adult, right? But at 18, you're the legal age, we can put a gun in your hand, train you to kill, and send you overseas. Now, here's the deal. We have young people, sir, not just male and not just black, but a large part of this is the African-American experience, who walk in the street, sir, and they don't know exactly what to do to keep themselves out of the hands of trouble, out of the law, and facing these type of perils. Now, they're 18 years old and older, some of them. They don't have a clue.
You would think they would know better. That's what you're saying. You would think they would know better.
Yeah. What happened, man?
Well, I'll be a witness to that. I was that individual, and I did not know any better, because what happened, something that's attractive, that would cause you not to even have no concern about that. Our trouble is just waiting for you to get into the trouble.
Right.
And then once the trouble occurs, it doesn't seem like trouble.
Okay.
It doesn't. You know that you are in trouble now.
Right.
You know, if you have a hand that you've been dealt, and you have no clue that this is a troubled hand, you think it's a winning hand.
My.
That's all.
And look.
Don't try to break the law. That doesn't register. Yeah, go ahead.
Pastor, I get caught up, right? I'm just hanging out. I don't mean no harm. I'm trying to make a living for myself. But somebody's going to try to rob me, right? Because they, you know, they know I got a little money and I got that other stuff. I'm slanging and banging. When the heat come and I have to do my thing to survive, I ain't got no super cape I can put on. I can't spend no kind of spider web to fly, to swing away. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me, Pat?
You can't.
Superhero characteristics and traits somehow won't manifest themselves for me in that moment. I need something else.
Yeah, you're in the real world at this point. At that point, that's where you're located.
All I've done past is grown up, and I really don't understand the complexities of life and really who I am and how to use my body even really to be productive and responsible. So, you know, I'm in the real world. I don't know nothing, but guess what? Everybody's expecting me to be on top of my game.
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, it's very, as I said earlier, attractive because it has so much quote, style to it, if you will, and it's
it's so
desirable for the eyes and the ears. You understand? And of course, we know that the Word of God says faith comes by hearing, right? Okay. Now let's just say we don't know anything about the Word of God. We don't know anything about the faith. But then here's the world says trouble sounds good. not that I won't get in trouble. No, it just sounds good. That's trouble. Don't even know that that is trouble. But it sounds good. And then as you increase, it looks good. So when you put that together, it lines up with what you're listening and you're seeing. And the Word of God said we walk by faith and not by sight. So we don't know any of those things now.
I'm
saying. So you picture young brothers, you know, out in the world right now, just came up out of the yard, and all of a sudden they know everything.
Mm.
So, you know, at this point, getting caught by the law does not register for the most part.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I'm using that for
right.
from my learning.
No, that's a good,
point. Yes, that's just the way it is. I mean, and my partner, a good example for him, you know, who had two life sentences, he shared something with me. He shared something with me one day. I was sitting out there at the prison on a visit with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me some things, man, and it made me just, you know, wonder how he made it through all of that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so, you know, he said to me when he got out from visiting, first of all, you know, when I was there visiting, and he was
right.
telling me the things that he was seeing in prison. And then when he got out, he said, man, he said, Rick, he said, I didn't think I was going to never get out of there, man. That's what the man told me, man. He did 29 years, 2 months and 29 days, man, in prison. And what I'm saying is, in the beginning, he didn't see the 29 years in 2 months and 29 days is what I'm talking about. Had he known that he had to spend that much time in prison, he might have been doing
what he would have done some different.
Yeah, he'd probably be doing what he's doing today, you know. And that's just if we could turn back the hands of time, you know, we know that that's not going to be able to be motion.
Sure,
we
sure.
do know that, you know, if he said he could have done that, he would make known and remind anybody, even his worst enemy, you know, if you ever want the truth, let me give it to you now. I had no thoughts about 29 years. No.
Right. And that's the power of his experience. Now, I don't think you have to go to jail and do time to teach anyone, but in his case, his super strength is 29 years of experience. That's his strength. That's his power. And he certainly can go and impart that wisdom on how to avoid repeating that experience with some young kid that's out there lost and don't know which way to go.
Right, and that's what they're doing. They're walking into the trap that I talk about a lot, Pastor, you know.
What
the trap is that that's what he got caught in. You know, I'm saying all that to say he said he wouldn't want his enemy to get caught up into that, man, and he would let him know the truth is that I never thought I was I didn't have doing that type of time on my mind. You don't think that you're going to get no time. I mean, you're not going to get arrested. You're not going to get caught, whatever it may be. But the bottom line, what he's doing today, you know, is that he's doing a good deed. This is what he said to people that was in prison. They asked him to do something for them. They said, Ernest, would you do something for us? And they got big time, too. They had life sentences and, you know, big time, 50 years and a whole lot of time. A lot of guys that was up there with him. He said, won't you go out and show us that it works, that you can stay free? Because people had been getting out, going back, getting out, coming back, you know, like that. And so they experienced seeing that. And then he came out, and he's been free ever since, you know, 10, 11 years now.
I'm glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that. This lecture series that we're promoting, that is the foundational basis of it. What a lot of good people are not aware of is their best qualities that can result into their best assets or successes. And you said something. You have guys that come out, they do maybe a three-year term, a felony term, simple felony, 3 years, right? They come out and they get caught up in the same triggering environment and wind up back in there again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I submit to you that time they offended first, were adjudicated and incarcerated, spent their time, came back out, went back to the street, then that whole time period they never learned what was wrong and what got them there in the first place. Because there's no sense of identity and purpose.
No, it doesn't register right there, Pastor. That's the thing that I was saying. And I believe that with this type of information, man, you know, when you talk about the young people, young brothers out there right now that don't have a clue about the trap. You know, the trap doesn't look like a trap, man. You know, you don't set no trap to look like a trap.
Right.
Because that's detrimental to catching someone, and that's why once you escape, you don't never want to go back into that again. And that's what he did. The people that he was there with had big time. And they actually asked him, questions. And, I mean, when they really, really put emphasis on it. I mean, he shared that with me. And just blessed that he was, you know, to come out and know that I was doing something different from what we were doing 30, 40 years ago, you see.
Gotcha.
And so
it's
something to come home to say, okay, I know Ricky is doing something different, and I mean, he's been doing something different since I've been in prison, and so he didn't have to see it. He knew that I was his partner, so he knew that I was doing something different, to make a long story short. How it is to be free. Those guys in prison, they admire him for doing it like that. Now they have hope. So the time that they may come up and serve 20, 30 years, and some may serve a little bit more, however, and they can spend the rest of their life being free, man. Because once you have spent that much time in prison, a lot of times people go back because they feel like they can't make it in society anymore.
Absolutely. And, there you go.
So I think
they get caught up.
Done a
good job. They get caught up again. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give this next message and we'll hear from Donnie one more time, and we'll come back on the other side. And let's answer this question about any fear to young people. I've heard some things recently that were somewhat concerning, you know, in terms of where young people's heads were. But on the other side, let's address that when we come back there.
Okay. All right.
Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Street. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. We have with us tonight our panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller. We're talking in open mic format tonight, and the number is 657-383-0944. We have about 11 minutes that you can give us a comment, a question, and we'll try to tackle it before we leave here. Pastor, I presented at Tennessee State University last semester, and had some good young people in the class, and we had some real dialogue, good talk. Interestingly enough, many of them shared the same concern, and they were from at least four different cities in there. They shared the same concern, and that was the concern about they were to go out and get pulled over by the police or have interaction with them, would they live? But my experiences as a high school teacher taught me that there are a lot of young people that from certain neighborhoods who went to school concerned about as to whether or not they will survive, let alone 4 years, you know, a day. And this led to a lot of the acting out behavior that we saw. But are you afraid for young people and their safety? That question really is directed toward adults, to parents. And if you say yes, I think it's important for you, for those good, think about why. Are you afraid? Are you aware of how to rear your children in such a way that they avoid those negative stares? Do you understand how you wind up getting caught up with the law? And how you wind up having the police looking for you? What are the patterns of behavior, the ingredients that lead to that. You know, I'm afraid that there's not enough conversation about that, real talk about how our families and our neighborhoods, our communities can be a vital part of the solution to the problems that we face. That's a major issue. Sometimes you're looking for leadership. You're looking for individuals in position of influence to resolve that, when the best thing they can do, the pastor, the teacher, the representative, government representative, is to direct you to the resources, to the knowledge, so that you can be empowered yourself. And I think that's a missing piece. That's a major barrier to many people's successes. And we tend to find ourselves begging, literally begging, for some relief at some of the most inopportune times, man. You know, it's amazing the times I've been to the juvenile courts and to funeral homes to see families wishing they could have avoided the realities they were facing. And that just tells me, sir, that we have no time for foolishness. No time for foolishness. What makes you? And I know you. I know you've been engaged in this. In fact, I've shared with you in some of your literally street ministry outreach. What have you found to be a key component of helping those who you interacted with to accept that reality? That, you know, it's really about you and about you learning what you must do for yourself. What have you found to be the key there?
Well, number one, Pastor, is to know that they're crying. I can hear their cry.
Right.
When they're walking in trouble, I hear their cry. So what I want to say, what causes me to have that great concern, as you was talking about, is how do you get information to them that they can hear when you say to them, trouble is easy to get into. See, that's not talked about as much in the way that they can comprehend. You don't see trouble. You don't hear trouble. You don't think trouble. You don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? We just having fun. Okay. And that's how trouble starts. It starts out by just having fun. I mean, I just had a flashback, you know, when you talked about these things, because that was enough, you know, and it hurt. It hurts. It's sad. You know what I mean? So my concern is, as I said earlier, I just don't feel like I'm doing enough and I have done enough. And then I humble myself and say, but I am grateful now for that I have done. And for all the people that have reached, you know, through my reaching out and things like that. But what I am concerned about is that now how to, because of the fast pace of the lifestyle and so many things that they have to deal with, and you got so much to be offered with the trap already set. You know, you've been offered these things, but that's part of the trap, and you don't even know it. So how can we, as a whole, you know, tell the people, listen, it's easy to get into, but hard to get out. And I found that to be true. You know, how do you think, and why do you think this partner, man, did 29 years and 2 months and 29 days in prison? The trouble was easy to get into, and it was hard to get out.
Pastor, hold your thought. I don't mean to be rude.
Yeah.
You mentioned the key point, and that was the trap. I want our listening audience to understand where you're coming from. He has authored a book entitled Still High. He describes in great detail this trap that he's talking about, this cocktail, this social cocktail to get you caught up like a web, a spider's web. You can get a copy of this book on our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Simply go to the web page and look on the initiative tab. I'm sorry. Go to the contact us page, and there's a backstore. There's a backstore. Look at that book, and it's called Still High. Ricky Wallace, the pastor, and you're hearing from him right now. And every time you support that, you support us because he is supporting us as he take this book, and we're praying that he will be able to travel with us some as we come to our targeted cities. I'm sorry, Pastor, go ahead and finish your thought. I hope I didn't cut your train of thought off too bad there.
No, that's all right. That's fine. As I said, putting emphasis on the power of the trap. You know, the word says, come to our senses and escape the trap, the snare of the devil, have been taken captive by his will. See, he has
Amen.
A will.
Right.
And if he don't have no do his will, then that means the trap is no longer working.
Wow.
But in the meantime, we as a people have to learn how to reach those innocent eyes, those innocent, you know, they're very innocent, man. Because when you're doing something for fun, that's an indication that, you know, you're very innocent, you know.
Absolutely.
Man,
that's right.
And that starts out. And all of a sudden, you know, it increased and it become a part of your life.
Wow.
So I wanted to always, I want to always make sure that I don't forget where I came from when it came down. When it came down
correct.
To it, man, I thank the man by the name of Pastor Cook who came out of the church and said something to me, man. I can't help but to give him his props.
Sure.
Yeah. God used his man in a great way. He came out, man, and said something to me. And I think that's what the churches basically should be made up of going out. You know, that's what you go inside of a building for, to get some power to take out.
Sure.
And you never know some sane guys out there, man, that's caught up. If they had some good information like, hey, brother, you know, it's hard for you to get out of that trouble when you get in it. But I can tell you what it is about it. It's easy to get into it. It's very easy to get into it. All you have to do is just experience it for yourself if you like to. But if you want to miss it, then you can do something that allows you to be free, man. And that's one of the things that the church should be able to offer. And I don't think they're doing enough of it right now for the most part. And for those that are doing something, I mean, thank God that they are.
Right. That's right. Agreed. Listen. It's about 2 minutes before we got to get out of here. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
But we had a short, we had a brief show. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reuben Dockery, and our panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. Join us next Tuesday for our next live episode. I'm going to leave with a message of hope from Langston Hughes, and we will be back next Tuesday.
For me, ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on and reaching laddens and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair.